Let's see here.
Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice.
Okay. Some people, you know, when they see somebody rejoicing, they get jealous of it because they're miserable. Now, I've seen people rejoice, you know. Well, I was going through such fire with Susie's dying slowly every day for 17 years, and I saw people happy, and she couldn't eat what she wanted to. And yet, I had to rejoice with them because they were rejoicing. So just because we happen to be suffering, I mean getting stronger by the suffering that we're going through, we should be rejoicing in that as well, as Paul did. Amen?
Amen.
So just because you're feeling you're going through the fire doesn't mean that you shouldn't you should disobey this scripture to not rejoice with those that are rejoicing. And just because even if you're going through the fire. And then on the other hand, if you're rejoicing and you see somebody weeping, then condescend down to that to help the body of Christ to say, well, praise the Lord, you know, I know you're weeping, I know you're going through it and everything, but think of it this way. The Lord stated that you're going through these things, we all do, so that we can become like gold. Amen?
Amen.
So you comfort one another that way. Amen?
Amen.
Or, Tony, you're dying now. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, don't worry, you're going to die too one of these days, and I'm looking forward to it, you know, to give people encouragement, to give God the glory when you're dying, to give death, or young man, you're dying and everything, praise the Lord, I'm jealous of you, you're going to go over onto the other side, if God doesn't heal you now. First thing I'm going to do if I get sick, I'm not going to be happy about being sick unless I know it's this, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray to be healed because the Lord tells us to be healed, amen, and to pray to be healed, amen, and that he's provided healing for us. By my stripes you are healed. And then if I don't, like Paul, he sought healing three times for his bad eyes, and the Lord didn't give it to him because the Lord, but the Lord did give him an answer. He said, my grace is my power is sufficient. And so therefore he stated that he gloried in all the different things that he was going to go through, whether good or evil. So if somebody is mourning, we have to weep with them. Amen?
Amen?
This is part of being a Christian. No matter if we are rejoicing, see a lot of people that are rejoicing and somebody's weeping, they say, I don't want to be around that morbid person. And if you're weeping and really going through the trouble and in pain, and nobody wants to be around them, that somebody else is rejoicing, they don't want to be around you. Or if you're feeling really bad, you don't want to be around somebody rejoicing. You get jealous of them because they're healed. They're all healed and fine and feeling wonderful, and they're just going breezing through life. But mark my words, in the Bible's words, one of these days, that person's going to be going through the fire too. Amen? Because the Lord's will is not that anyone should perish, that should go to hell. And so therefore he knows that unless he puts them through the fire, they're going to go to the eternal fire. So we have to make up a choice. You want to go through the fire on this earth for a while, and then God gives you rest like he did the people here. And they went through some fire, you know, for these battles. Or do you want to just take a life of ease here and then spend eternity never-ending fire? It's horrible. We've got to go through the fire, one way or the other. All right, and then this one? Finish that.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Yeah, we're supposed to weep with them that weep, no matter how we feel. Okay? If we feel happy and everything, and somebody is like, doesn't that make you feel good if you were feeling real low, and somebody comes and puts their arms around you and says, oh, you know, gosh, I mean, you know, but don't realize whatever you're going through here is everything is of the Lord, and it's to make you strong, to make you shine. You'll get over this. The storm will be over. It'll be over soon. Take comfort in that. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to go through this all the time. But I just lost my son, my little daughter, my mother, my father. Yes, but you're a Christian and they're in heaven now, and they would not want you to be going through it. It's nice to mourn and all that for a season, but realize they're in a much better place than we are. And I mean, you can just go on and on about things like this. Amen. Now here.
Romans 12:21.
Okay.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah, don't. If you're going through fire, don't be overcome by it. Amen? Evil things happen to everybody. Don't be overcome, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
What is good? God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Overcome evil by just believing God and all these witnesses like Job and Paul and all the other ones that were going through evil things. They just said, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter what, whether it's good or evil, they praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to get braced for this. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to know these scriptures. Then what? Now we're going to John 15:2, where Jesus is telling us all that he's the vine and we are the branches. And if we don't... what God does is if we don't bear fruit, he takes us away and burns us and throws us into the fire forever into hell. And but to those of us that do bear fruit, he's going to purge us. That means to cut us, to put us through fire so that we bear even more fruit. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
He, God, taketh away. Then what?
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it.
It means he makes it go through fire. He works with it. He cuts it. It prunes it. When you prune a tree, it becomes so laden with fruit that you have to put a brace under it to hold the branches up. Okay? Then what?
He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit.
Right. That's what our purpose is here on earth. Is to bring forth fruit. You may say, well, I never go out any place. I never get a chance to witness. You're a witness right in your home. And whether you know it or not, when you go out to eat someplace or you go over to the store or wherever you go, you're going to be a witness, and you have to take Jesus with you no matter where you go. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now here.
1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory.
The God of all power, who's called us to his eternal glory. Then what?
By Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while.
Oh, wait a minute. After you've suffered for a while? Just for a while. Amen. These people suffered for a while in this chapter that we're reading, chapter 23, but now God has given them rest. Amen.
Amen.
After you've suffered a while, then what?
Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you.
Okay, perfect, establish, and what else? Perfect.
Strengthen and settle you.
And perfect, right?
Amen.
Perfect. Well, how can we have to be perfect? Be ye perfect. You cannot be perfect. Right there is telling you, you cannot be perfect unless you go through the fire. Amen?
Amen.
Unless you learn to be abased and to abound until you learn to take whatever happens to you in the grace or the power of God. Amen?
Amen. Psalm 119:67.
You might as well know these things. The Lord says, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If they persecuted me, they will persecute my servants. Okay? If they lied about me, they'll lie about you. And you just have to learn to take it. Some people, I've seen them weeping in the church. They said, they lie about me. Well, they lied about the Lord. So, are you more important than the Lord? Do you ever see the Lord saying, they lied about me. They lied about me. No, the Lord just took it on the chin. Amen?
Amen.
And you can't, huh? Well, that means you're going to go through a lot more fire. Keto. Keto. All right, then what?
Before I was afflicted, I went astray.
See, before I was afflicted, before I went through the fire, I committed fornication, adultery, a murder, everything. Because when we go through afflictions, when we go, we're like, we're not perfect, we're weak, we're full of all of our own ways. We lusted. We did our own thing. Before I was afflicted, I what?
Went astray.
Yeah, I was a stinking sinner. Psalmist David said this. Before God cut me, before he put me through some fire, before he let me know who the boss was, then what?
But now have I kept thy word.
But now, after I've been put to the fire, after I've been afflicted, now I keep your word. Amen?
Amen.
Now then, it's a whole different story. You're not going to keep God's word until you've been through the fire, my dear. Or my boy. All right? Is it? Read it again.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now he was made into gold. Okay, did we do this one yet?
No. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Okay. So it's better to just let yourself be weakened, to be put to the fire, to be to endure, like if you've got you've lost a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, if you've lost all your money, if you are being persecuted, if you're being lied about. Read it again.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient
for you. My power is sufficient for you. Then what?
For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
My strength is... There's nothing... You're weak against a liar. There's nothing that you can do about a liar. You can lock your doors against the thief, but you can't lie. Lock your doors against the people that are telling dirty, filthy lies about you. Okay? So you're weak in that regard, but therefore, if you learn to just trust in the Lord and go through that fire, you'll see those very people that are doing those things. Hopefully they'll get saved and then confess that they did them. But if not, God, you'll see them not on the face of the earth anymore. You'll be buried 6 feet under. All right, now let's go back to our text. Where were we in the 23rd chapter of Joshua?
Middle of verse 6.
Okay, keep going.
Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses.
Yeah, let yourself be go through the fire. Amen?
Amen.
Be very careful. Be bold to do it. Be courageous to do it. Don't be worried about your mousy $1.97 flesh. Huh? It's going to turn into just a bunch of powder anyway. You're just a stack of dust just like I am. That's all we are, is made out of dust. You worried if I sweep up the floor and get a little pile of dust, are you going to weep over that?
No.
Don't weep over you stack of dust, you either, okay? All right, then what?
That ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left.
Yeah, don't go into the gutter over there of presumptuous to where you think that you're a greater stack of dust than the next person is. And then don't go into the other side of the ditch where you don't do anything for the Lord, but you are called to minister to Christ's body one way or the other. Amen? Whether you're a food server or you're a cleaner-upper or whatever you do, you're called to do something. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them.
Or never even mention the name of their gods or swear by them. Then what?
Neither serve them nor bow yourselves unto them. Verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day.
Right. Be in the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. And whatever happens to you, let the Spirit be your power, your strength. Go through whatever. Because it won't do any good to whine. Whining doesn't give glory to God. Just going through it with a smile on your face, one way or the other, that's what gives glory to the Lord. Because you know you've got the kingdom of heaven that's waiting there for you. And you're just being tried. Just like a person says, I'm going to buy those horse over there, but I want to try it. I want to get on and ride it around for a while. Or there's a team of oxen over there. I want to try that team of oxen to see if they'll really go when I say go. And if they'll go gee when I say gee and haw when I say haw. When they go left when I say gee and they'll go haw right when I say right. You know, you've never been on the farm before, huh? You've never driven a pair of oxen. Well, when I try them and I say gee and they go the wrong direction or haw and they go the other direction, or if I try to get them to move, I have to go over and kick them in the posterior to ever even make them budge an inch. I try them and they don't work, okay? That's what the Lord says. He wants to try us and put us through the fire. Amen? Through the fuego. All right, then what?
Verse 9. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong.
See, the Lord did it, not you. You just went along for the ride. And that's all we're going along for, is the ride. He just wants to see if we're going to do it. Okay? We're being tried. We're being tested. Now, some people say he was tempted of the Lord or by the devil. The Lord won't tempt you, but he'll try you. So some people say trying and tempting is the same thing. No, he'll allow you to be tempted. He'll allow you to be tried because you're a free moral agent. He wants to see if you'll choose to do good so you can enter heaven, or choose to don't do good, do evil so that you don't go to heaven. All right, then what?
But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day.
See, if you're in the Lord, you go through trials and tribulations just like the unsaved, but no man will be able to stand against you. Okay? They try to, but they won't be able to do what? Read it again.
No man hath been able to stand before you unto this day.
They can't stand before you to this very day. Ever since the Lord promised, he took you in there, and no one can stand before you. If God be with you, who can be against you? Amen?
Amen.
And that we are more than conquerors over our flesh, this little pile of dust that we are, this $1.97 body. Our bodies, you know, the iron in there is about worth a small, medium-sized nail. Okay, and then a little bit of gold, all these things I told you yesterday. All right, so let's go on.
Verse 10. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you.
He's the one that's doing the work. If you do what he says, if you trust him, and if you're willing to go through the fire, if you're willing to prove yourself to be a worthy horse, a vessel for the Lord to ride in. Okay?
For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you.
He promised that he'd fight for you, and he promises you today that he'll fight for you. Now, if you believe him, don't worry about a thing, because in a twinkling of an eye, you say, well, I'm worried, I'm afraid to die. You won't even know you died. Because just like Sue and I were down on the ground looking up at the clouds, and then all of a sudden we're looking down. There was no sensation of going up in the sky and looking down at all. That's just exactly this how you, when if you're a Christian, how you're going to die. You are not even going to know it. And you have all the awareness about you when you're there. The kind of person you are here is the kind of person you're going to be in heaven, so you got to be sure that you're not a liar, or that you're not lusting, or something like that. You can lust over your wife or your husband. You can lust after the Lord, but you can't lust after somebody that doesn't belong to you. Okay? So there's certain lusts there that are approved. All right? Don't feel bad if you lust after your husband or your wife. Okay? And that's approved. I can show you in the Bible. It says, ravish! Amen? Oh my gosh, look at everyone looking around. Okay, then what?
Translation verse 1 through 10. Joshua's final words to Israel. The years passed and the Lord had given the people of Israel rest from all their enemies. Joshua, who was now very old, verse 2, called together all the elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and officers of Israel. He said to them, quote, I am an old man now. Verse 3, you have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. Verse 4, I have allotted to you as an inheritance all the land of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those who you have already conquered from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 5, this land will be yours, for the Lord your God will drive out all the people living there now. You will live there instead of them, just as the Lord your God promised you. Verse 6, so be strong! Be very careful to follow all the instructions written in the book of the law of Moses.
Okay, and these things happen. Now, just as that has happened, the Lord says that we're going to be the only ones that's going to inhabit heaven and the earth when this mess is all over with. It's ours and ours only, where only righteousness dwells. There'll be not one unrighteous person in heaven or on earth, because heaven will come down on earth. This very same earth here will be, except this earth will be refurbished. It'll be totally burned up and redone again, because there was sin here. Even the heavens will be burned up. There'll be a new heaven, the Bible says, and a new earth, one wherein there's never been anything other than righteousness. There's only right people, people that have been willing to, for the promise of God. They believe God's promise so much that they would go through hail and high water to get there. Now, you know, you have to go through the sagebrush to get to the picnic grounds. Amen? In other words, right?
Right.
You've got to go through those tumbleweeds and the briars and branches. All right? But we're going to get there, because there's nothing else that we can do. The other option to go to hell, that's not an option. Amen?
Yeah.
Unless you're crazy. Or unless you just don't, you're crazy and you don't believe God. You don't believe God. If you don't believe Him, who can you believe? Amen?
Yeah.
Believe yourself? Or you believe the news media that tells you that there's no such thing? What do you believe? For you. Okay, go ahead.
Do not deviate from them in any way. Verse 7. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land.
Well, but that is antisocial. And today people say we all have to be together. We all have to meld together as one. The Lord says, no. Keep yourself separate from the people of this world. Don't be all excited about where the tourists go. Amen?
Amen.
Because you'll catch the tourist disease. Okay? Then what? Because all it is like trinkets and stupidity. Okay? I'm going to take a bunch of people down to the Hollywood Cemetery where Valentino is buried. He had his heyday too. And Tyrone Power and John Barrymore and all those kind of people. But they're gone. And only if they did anything for the Lord on this side of eternity are they in heaven. And they lived a life of ease. But everyone that seemingly has a life of ease, they have sickness, disease, infirmities. Valentino had an appendix, a ruptured appendix, and died at a very young age. And there's not one person in this church that there isn't something wrong with them one way or the other. Every single person has something wrong with their bodies. Whether you want to believe it or not, the Bible says there's something wrong with you, even if you don't know it. There's something wrong. There's nobody that's in perfect health. I don't care what a doctor says. There's some kind of a bug in you that you may not know about. And every second that you live, you're dying. We're just a bunch of people just sitting in the room just dying. That's what's happening. Your body's just dying by the second. And one of these days, it is going to die once and for all. But if you're a Christian, it's going to live forevermore. You're going to resurrect out of that dead piece of clay into a spiritual, ecclesiastical body, and you're going to live forever looking gorgeous, beautiful, handsome. All right, then what?
Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them or worship them. Verse 8, but be faithful to the Lord your God as you have done until now. Verse 9, for the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Verse 10, each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you just as he has promised. King James Version, verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God.
Yeah, make sure that you are willing to go through the fire, that you love the things that God has promised you, like the kingdom of heaven, and eternal life, and immortality yourself, and to be beautiful forever, and to live on forever. I mean, there's nothing, a bee sting, a cigarette burn, if somebody puts a bullet through you, it lasts for you just a mention of a second. You're up in the kingdom of heaven. I wouldn't want to just be looking down on the clouds, because it got very boring up there just looking down at the clouds. But thank God heaven isn't that way. It is a place where it is the most gorgeous thing that you can even imagine. And it's we all know, if you read the Bible, you'll see that there's no place like it in the world. You could pick all the most beautiful vacation spots on earth, and it still is like a piece of dreck, a dung, compared to what heaven looks like. And the way the atmosphere is there, and the perfect temperature, and there's no storms, there's no hail, no heat coming down, beating on to where you're uncomfortable. It's just comfortable all the time. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Verse 12. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you.
So if you don't do what the Lord says, He's not going to do anything for you. As a matter of fact, you're going to go through a lot of trouble. You may get involved in their sexual ways and all their perversions and everything, but you're going to be sorry at the end when your body dies, because you're going to be screaming your head off eternally. You have to face a huge, all-powerful God. And He looks at you and says, you scum, you didn't listen to what I said. You preferred perversion rather than the kingdom of heaven. You preferred the way of the homosexual, the lesbian, the adulterer, the fornicator, the self-willed people on earth rather than the kingdom of God. So go out into everlasting darkness, into torment forever. Then what?
But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Verse 14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you.
And nothing's going to fail of what He said. Heaven is there, and hell is there, and it's not going to fail. No matter who tells you that heaven's not there and hell's not there, it's still there. And the rules to go to each place are still, they're fixed. You're either going to heaven or hell. There's no other place for you. Then what?
All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof.
And everything the Lord said that was going to happen is not going to fail either. Then what?
Verse 15, therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you.
God, good God, is destroying it? That's what he's saying is, then what else?
Verse 16, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land, which he hath given unto you.
Okay, now the translation.
Verse 11 through 16. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Verse 12. But if you turn away from him and intermarry with the survivors of these nations...
Loving, be sure to love the Lord. That means to seek diligently all his personality, the way he is in his word. And then when you learn what he wants and likes, then you should be ministering one to another. And you just forget it as soon as you hear it. You're supposed to be meditating on the Lord, all these words, day and night, so that you can, it can be a part of you, an actual part of you, in your life, so that your life will fit in with the life in heaven. If you live a different life than the heavenly people live, then you won't be in heaven. You're going to go to hell. Then what?
Verse 12, but if you turn away from him and intermarry with the survivors of these nations remaining among you, verse 13, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out from your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a pain in your side and a thorn in your eyes, and you will be wiped out from this good land the Lord your God has given you. Verse 14, soon I will die, going the way of all the earth. Deep in your hearts you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed! Exclamation mark. Verse 15. But as surely as the Lord your God has given you the good things he promised, he will also bring disaster on you if you disobey him. He will completely wipe you out from this good land he has given you.
Yeah, you will be. We wonder, why is there so much disaster in Africa and India and many places in the world, over in Florida? And one thing after the other, and these people say, well, it's Mother Nature. No, it's the Lord says, I will bring disaster. I'll use nature, or I'll use some many of the millions of different ways I know how to bring disaster on you. Okay, then what?
Verse 16, if you break the covenant of the Lord your God by worshiping and serving other gods, his anger will burn against you, and you will quickly be wiped out from the good land he has given you.
Quickly and efficiently. Then what?
Commentary.
Mm-hmm.
23, verse 1 through 16. This is the first of two farewell messages by Joshua to the Israelites. The first was addressed to the leaders, the second to all the people. In this chapter, his message was one of careful observance of God's word. Three times he called them to obedience, verses 1 through 8, 9 through 13, and 14 through 16. Each time he reminded them of what God had done, and each time he urged them to be faithful. 23, verse 1 through 2. Joshua was at the end of his life. Like a father who wished to leave the benefit of his wisdom to those who would follow, Psalms chapter 78, verse 1 through 8. Israel was intended to be a blessing to the people around them, Genesis 12, verse 3. But because these nations had resisted Israel as ambassadors of God's kingdom on earth, they are here characterized as enemies. 23, verse 5 through 6. As had Moses, Joshua emphasized the need for obedience to keep and advance their inheritance. 23, verse 11. Joshua's command to love God means a constant devotion to him, developing a relationship with him, being obedient and guarding against corruption. 23, verse 14, quote, I am going, unquote. All the earth reminded Israel of Joshua's impending death. These final two sermons were his last will and testament. 23, verse 15 through 16. God's power has always been intentioned with his strict justice and his need to be a righteous judge. 23, verse 1 through 7. Joshua reminded the Israelites that the God of Israel was the one who had given them all their victories, that all of the promised land had been apportioned as God had said it would be, and that God would continue to defeat Israel's enemies so his people would live at peace in the land. The people, therefore, were not to forsake God or ever turn to the false gods of the nations living within the land. The Israelites' walk with God was an ongoing process, just like our own progression in faith and in the Spirit must be to grow to maturity.
And also to know that we have to go through this fire, this furnace. We have to be tossed, turned, rolled, spun, chipped, baked again, painted, and then baked again before we had to become like gold. Then what?
23, verse 14 through 16. Joshua spoke the truth. God had not failed Israel in the past. All that God said he would do, he did, and all of Israel knew that to be a fact. Joshua then issued a warning to the people. Just as God had blessed them because of their acts of obedience, as he had promised, so too would he judge them harshly if they broke their covenant with him and worshipped other gods. In fact, if they were disobedient to God, he would not even hesitate to drive them from the promised land to destroy them.
Like in Germany. In what?
From the promised land that he had thought to give them. In a loving relationship, others will hold us accountable for our actions, not because they want to, quote, get, unquote, us, but because they want what is best for us.
Right. In a loving relationship, as the Bible states, that we are to minister to Christ's body. So, therefore, we're not independent Christians. We're all part of a body. So if we don't want the body to suffer corporately, then we are going to report things that are going on that's wrong in the body to the leader, to God's authority on earth, so that God's authority can straighten it out and straighten them out, or else if they refuse, to remove them. All right? Well, listen, this was, to me, I thought this was a very good, another tape in Joshua 23, 16 verses, plus we had a lot of some scriptures regarding fire, and that we have to go through, and the different ways, the attitude that we must take as a Christian, which is the mind of Christ. We have to have his attitude. Amen?
Yeah.
The attitude of God. And pray that you all meditate on this both day and night so that it become a part of you. You know that, as we were mentioning in the verses yesterday, that a sheep in the 23rd Psalm where he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When these sheep eat the grass and it goes down into their lower stomach and they regurgitate it up, then they start chewing the cud. And by them resting in the grass and chewing their cud like this, it makes their wool really nice. If it's a green pasture, their wool becomes very thick, and the meat becomes very good to eat, and also their bones become fat. And a lot of people don't realize it, but a lot of the medicine today is made from the bones of sheep. You know, that's what they make a lot of medicine out of. And so we are to meditate these things, just as the Lord tells us in the 23rd Psalm and throughout the whole Bible, the first Psalm, and as there are other scriptures that we read yesterday. And so meditate on these things that you heard today. Get it straight in your mind. We have to prepare ourselves for suffering, because it says after we've suffered for a while, okay, right? then we're going to have peace forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
So, in this world, everybody's going to suffer. All right? But we Christians are the only ones that have the consolation prize. Until chapter 24 of Joshua, I know that by you meditating in these things day and night, as the Bible tells us to do, and to remember where the other it tells us to meditate day and night in Joshua, amen.
Yeah.
Verse 8, chapter 1, amen.
Yeah.
And that is what we should do today, all the way through the Bible. We've read a bunch of meditations. And to be very bold and courageous to go through whatever, to go through this life the way the Lord wants us to. So meditate on that and live the life, because the life will be yours if you take time out today to live this day one day at a time according to the way that things are run in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord wants His will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So meditate on that and live that life today. Till chapter 24, God bless you and praise the Lord.